For our scripture this afternoon, we turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 30. John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Dear people of God, who of us, when we come to the close of the day, will dare to say, "It is finished"? Who of us, when we come to the end of our earthly journey, will take upon our lips, "It is finished"? I'm sure that all of us, whether it's at the end of the day or the close of our journey, we'll have to acknowledge that we have not said all that we should have said. We have not done all that we should have done. Yet our Lord Jesus Christ, in the passage of Scripture which we have just read, says, "It is finished." You know, these words had been spoken once before. God the Father, at the completion of the work of creation, had declared when he looked upon the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, "It is finished." And God said, "It is good." And now Jesus Christ, his Son, as he hangs on the cross of Calvary, declares, "It is finished." And you and I are here this afternoon to think for a few minutes about the meaning of these words. Surely, as Jesus declares, "It is finished," he is not saying that he has done for everyone what could be done. You know that during Jesus' ministry on earth, he had given sight to the blind, he had given hearing to the deaf, he had restored speech to the dumb. There were lepers whom he had cleansed. There were those who were crippled who had received once again the strength to walk. He had set free those who were demon-possessed. The Bible tells us that he had healed many. Yet there were many more who were blind, who desired to see. There were many more who were deaf, who longed to hear. There were many more who were without speech, or whose bodies were racked with pain or with illness, who desired healing. There were still those who were demon-possessed, who longed to be set free. But Jesus had not come for that purpose. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he was not declaring that the work of sanctification in his followers had been completed. Oh, we think of a Peter who just a short time before had denied that he knew Jesus. We think of a Thomas who will manifest the weakness of faith and his doubting nature in the days just ahead. We think of the rest of the disciples who even at this time have forsaken Jesus and who are looking for safety elsewhere. And then we think of the multitudes who had followed him, who were looking for instruction and direction. No, the work of sanctification in the life of the followers of Jesus has not been completed. Nor is Jesus saying that there was no longer any work in the midst of his church which had to be done. You know very well that in just a few days, Jesus will rise from the dead and he will appear unto his church, that they may have proof of his victory over death and the grave. Jesus is going to ascend to heaven to rule at the Father's right hand, that he might continue to gather and to defend and to preserve his church. And Jesus is going to send his Spirit in the midst of the church, that those who have been elected unto eternal life may be gathered in. The record of the history of the church is recorded for us in the book of Acts. And you and I who are here this morning, this afternoon, or who are listening by means of radio, are part of that ongoing history of the church as Jesus continues his work in the midst of his church. No, when Jesus says it is finished, dear people of God, he is declaring that the work for which he had come into the world, that the work for which the Father had sent him into the world, has been completed. You remember, don't you, from your study of God's Word, that already when Jesus was just a boy, and Mary and Joseph had looked for him, they had found him in the temple. And what was it that he declared to them? I must be about my Father's work. And later in his life, he had declared to his followers, I do always the things that please him. And as Jesus himself is facing death on the cross of Calvary, and as he turns to his Father in prayer, he says, I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. It is about that work that Jesus is speaking as he hangs on the cross and declares in this sixth word, it is finished. And oh, you and I have been directed to the Word of God again and again in this afternoon to be reminded of what was involved in doing the Father's work, in redeeming the people whom the Father had given unto him as his own possession. You and I have had our attention directed earlier this afternoon to the incarnation. Have you thought lately, dear people of God, about the price that was paid when he who was rich became poor on our behalf, that we who were so poor might become rich? I don't think I will ever remember, while the Lord gives me keenness of mind, the words of a Nigerian pastor who, while speaking, confessed that he had never realized the sacrifices made by the missionaries who had come to tell his people the gospel, the good news of salvation, until he himself had come to the United States and had witnessed what the missionaries had left in order to bring the good news to his people. And so it is with you and with me. We will not realize the greatness of the sacrifice made by our Lord Jesus Christ when he left the glory of heaven until we ourselves enter into heaven and behold there the glory which the Son knew from before the foundation of the world. The Son of God took upon himself a poverty so great that you and I cannot fathom it. You remember, don't you, that Jesus, through whom all things were made, and without whom nothing was made that has been made, declared that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has no place to lay his head. And we have been reminded of the indescribable suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ as he endured the agony of hell. He did that, you know, so that you and I might never have to endure that agony. Indeed, this is what Jesus is saying when he declares it is finished. He is telling us that he has perfectly obeyed the Father in heaven, which you and I have failed to do, and which we in ourselves cannot do. He is telling us that he has borne completely on our behalf the wrath of God against the sin of which you and I are guilty. We heard those words just a little while ago, in which the Apostle Paul declares as he writes to the church at Corinth, "He who knew no sin was made to be sin on our behalf, that we might know the righteousness of God in him." He is declaring that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our sins was taken upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. That's what Jesus is saying when he declares, "It is finished." Do you believe it? Arthur Pink, a Bible teacher of an earlier day, in one of his books, tells the story of a farmer who has come to know the joy of salvation through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. This farmer was greatly burdened on behalf of a neighbor. The neighbor was a carpenter. The neighbor was convinced that he had to add something to the finished work of Jesus Christ. The neighbor believed that he, through his own works, had to earn at least in part his salvation. And although the Christian farmer bore witness to the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, the witness had no effect. And so the Christian farmer said to the carpenter one day, "Will you please make for me a gate which I can hang out in the field?" The farmer took on the assignment. And when he had completed the gate, he notified the farmer that the gate was ready. The farmer with his wagon went to pick up the gate. And he said to the carpenter, "Will you meet me in the field tomorrow morning so that you can see the finished product hanging?" The carpenter agreed to do so. And so the next morning, the carpenter met the farmer out in the field. The carpenter was surprised to see that the farmer was carrying an axe. And the carpenter said to the farmer, "What are you going to do with that axe?" "Oh," he said, "I'm going to add some mars and some nicks to the gate which you have made." The carpenter said, "Why would you do that? The gate is complete as it is." "Oh, no," said the farmer, "I have to add something to it." And so he began swinging his axe, and he chopped away and he hacked at the gate until the gate had been despoiled. And the carpenter said, "You have ruined my finished work." And the farmer looked at the carpenter and said, "That's what you are trying to do with the finished work of Jesus Christ." The words of the farmer had failed to penetrate to the heart of the carpenter, but now the act of his hands penetrated, and the carpenter yielded and committed his life to Jesus Christ. And oh, I ask this afternoon, if there's anyone here or anyone listening in on the radio who is trying to add something to the finished work of Jesus Christ, are you in any way trying to earn the forgiveness of a single sin or to merit the opening of the door of heaven just slightly so that you may enter in. If you are, if there is someone like that here or listening, may I remind you in the name of God that you are denying the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are denying that he, through his suffering and death, has paid the price in full. You are denying his cry, "It is finished." Oh, hear the word of Scripture as it commands you to repent and to believe and to be saved. Come! In the words of the hymn writer, hold and declare simply, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Oh, may we all together, without exception, be able to say, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's death, another's life, I cast my soul eternally. Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who aught to my charge can lay? Fully absolved by Christ I am from sin's tremendous curse and blame. It is finished. Rejoice and be glad. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we give thanks that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and suffered and died to save us from our sins. We give thanks, Lord Jesus, that thou didst proclaim on the cross of Calvary, "It is finished." We're so thankful that the price has been paid in full, and ask now that all of us, without exception, may place our hope and trust in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Indeed, Lord Jesus, nothing in our hands we bring, simply to thy cross we cling, that thou mayest receive all the glory both now and forevermore. Amen.